If Wisconsin was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like the flipped on its head,
sure.
What would things be made out of?
Cheese curd bushes.
Okay.
Right? So you can just pick cheese curds off the cheese curd bush.
Are cheese curds more of a fruit?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Who won the trade for Aaron Rodgers? The Packers or the Jets? Because after a month, 6 weeks, I don't know how long it's felt like we've been talking about, where will Aaron Rodgers end up? Yesterday afternoon on a random Monday, it has been declared he is turning in his dark green, his dark Packers green for the Jets Gotham green.
Oh,
and moving to New York. I did look it up. They are different. They have different hex color codes.
Oh, of course.
But they're both green. They're just slightly different. So who do you think won the trade? 844-967-2789. And from what I understand, granted, I did not follow the ins and outs of this deal and the market, the salary cap and all the stuff that it means with the millions of dollars that he's still promised and who has to take over what part of the salary and yada, yada, yada. But I will say what the Packers got was a first round pick swap in 2023.
Right.
And the draft is coming up. A high second round pick in 2023, a likely first round pick in 2024, and at worst second, and a $60 million financial obligation taken off their hands. And they got all that for a player that was not going to come back to the team. Like, there was no chance Aaron Rodgers was coming back. And we got a lot of good things out of that trade. I mean, even if this season is not, you know, but the last season wasn't what we wanted it to be.
No.
And so as much as I'm trying not to, I think all of the sentiments of like, thank you, Aaron Rodgers, for like your 18 seasons. And we had a lot of really fun, great seasons and games with him. I think that is all legitimate.
Sure.
And I am also fine that this is the end.
844.
How do you feel?
Yeah. 844-967-2789. Who got the better end of this trade, the Packers or the Jets? You can text and or call at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY.
And so, you know, I think it's obviously on to the next thing. I think it's interesting for the Jets because they, you know, as far as the market's telling us how... I do believe I'm not a betting person, but there's almost a betting market for almost anything you can think of, and certainly always for sports. And now, as of yesterday, the Jets, I would say, are Super Bowl contenders now. Their odds to go to the Super Bowl, I don't know if it's the odds to go to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, are now 14-1.
Oh.
Currently, the Packers are 50-1. So they are in a better position, potentially. But like... the thing with football, the thing with any sport, is you're always just one injury away from it being, well, that's not what we thought it was going to be. And I don't know. There's enough of a chip on Aaron Rodgers' shoulder that I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out and has a fairly epic season.
Really?
If he has the gas in there, he is. It's funny because in the next segment, we're going to rant about the Bucks lost last night, but they were talking, you know, Jimmy Butler just won that game last night. And before he really took over, and while we still had either a 10 or 15 point lead, the commentators or the announcers were talking about Jimmy Butler and how competitive he is and how like even a game of Uno with him is intense.
Oh my.
And I feel like that's how I think that's how most of our best athletes are. Like they're intense people who they can kick it into a different gear. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he goes into the Jets having something to prove and has one more like good season in him. But like, he could also break his other thumb or like break a pinky toe or do something that just like he isn't what he was. And that's the gamble that they're making. So for now, it's good. And for us, like that's a lot of good picks potentially, as long as we don't waste them. And I would say long term, Packers won this deal.
You feel confident?
That's where I stand. I feel confident.
Okay. 844-967-2789. Check in, either call or a text and let us know who won the better end of that deal, the Packers or the Jets. For myself, and I agree with you that we had some wonderful, wonderful seasons watching him play and lead the team. But I've just had Aaron Rodgers exhaustion syndrome for like the last 2 years. It's just, it's too much. He's too much of a drama queen. Bye.
And it was such a turn, because for so long I feel like he was such a golden boy. Like I think he did do a lot for different nonprofits and raising money and showing up at different events and really, you know, I think people when they would meet him in person, I think most what I know is that people had really good interactions with him when they would see him out in public. I think was it a year or 2 years ago. He was at a grocery store and there was that video that kind of went viral of him talking to some little girl is sitting in a grocery cart. And so I think overall, there was a period of time where he did not seem like he was this dramatic, you know, controversial, stubborn person. And yet, so I don't know if he was always that or if he just turned into that, but either way, I'm excited to see Jordan Love. I'm wondering how he's feeling today as far as being very excited. But I also think it's fun that for Jordan Love, there's so much, it lends itself to a lot of really good merch.
I was seeing that a lot yesterday. Yeah. Lots of love merch. 844-967-2789. Who got the better end of the deal? The Packers or the Jets? We had Steven on the line and now he just disappeared again.
Oh, all right. Well, Steven,
keep trying.
Call back. But yeah, some of the better, I'm trying to look at some of the better, like the all you need is love. And then the love, because his number is number 10. And so they have love spelled with a one and a zero instead of an L and a V.
Like it.
L and an O. And so I think that one's good. There's also one I saw that says, it's like an Obama type poster and it says, it's Jordan Love's face, but it says hope underneath. No pressure, Jordan. No pressure. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. We're going to talk to J.R. Radcliffe. So starting this Thursday, every other Thursday at 1, J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who is a trending sports reporter, is going to jump on with us and just talk general sports from our professional sports, college sports, WIAA. But we are going to have a lot to talk about with him this week between Aaron Rodgers, Bucks, Brewers, and even like with the draft coming up and maybe thoughts on who or what we should draft. And then on the opposite Thursdays, Paul Noonan will be here.
Cool.
And so starting to have some people who know more about sports than I do kind of give us their insight of all of our different rotating teams every Thursday.
844-967-2789. If you want to let us know who won the trade, the Packers or the Jets, Steven from Green Bay on the phone. Thanks for joining us, Steven. What do you want to say?
Hey guys. So I am from Green Bay. So this has been on my radar for quite some time. For a while there, I wasn't sure if Green Bay was actually going to pull the trigger and trade them. They were sitting back and relaxing for a little while on the trade. But now that the trade has happened, this is what I got to say. Who won the trade long term? I think definitely Green Bay. But Aaron Rodgers is going to a completely different environment. He's not going to be in the small, friendly confines of Green Bay where your fan base is loyal to you, win or bust. He's going to be in New York now, which their fan base is going to expect him to produce and really bring home a championship. That's why they went and signed this guy. And if Rodgers doesn't do that, he is going to find out how cutthroat the New York media market can be to an athlete. And so I'll have to sit back and see what happens.
That's a really interesting point that you make, Stephen, because even with all the slings that he's taken over the years, he does seem a little bit thin-skinned.
Oh, yeah.
He does, and I will say this. A lot of sports, media people that I'm watching about this, they're thinking we're sitting with our green and gold handkerchiefs in Green Bay crying about this. We've expected this was going to happen for at least 2 years here in Green Bay. And honestly, we are so sick and tired of the drama that he brings that we're kind of relieved he's gone. I'm kind of interested to see what Green Bay will do in the draft with their first rounder they got, to see if they get another quarterback or if they're really, you know, set on Jordan Love and really going to see what he can do. So there's a lot of question marks with this one. I will tell you this, Packer fans, we've been spoiled for 20 plus years. We've had the best of the best in the quarterback position. So even if Jordan Love is an okay quarterback, we're really not losing anything there. We're not paying him a ton of money. But we'll see. You know, he might surprise us all and might take us to a championship. And
that'd be great.
We shall see.
That would be great.
Thank you so much for the call, Stephen. So I think, time marches on. And what's funny, though, is in Green Bay, the Aaron Rodgers mural that is downtown is already painted over.
Wow. Somebody was waiting to do that.
Yeah. Bo Thomas of Trackside Design, LLC. Last night he posted a time-lapse video of him painting over the mural with just black. So there's nothing that's replaced it yet. But he captioned the video, End of an Era. And he accompanied the video with the song from Boys to Men. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. All right. When we come back, can the Bucks come back? I sure hope so, but they may need some help from us at 8:30 tomorrow night. Were you fired up? Can you muster the energy to give them the energy that they need to actually come back from a 3-1, being down 3-1 from the Miami Heat? We're going to talk about it when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Again, of course, we're speaking in the figurative sense. What's the use of even going through the motions when you know that you're going to lose anyhow? So why don't you save us all some time?
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
It's not over. We've seen it done before, down 3-1. We know we have the talent, we have the ability. Just got to go home, get a win, take one game at a time.
That's, we've talked about it in the locker room. We got to go to Milwaukee and win a game. Life is not complicated. That's what we got to go do.
It's if we win. So that's, you can't think ahead because that's not possible if you don't win that next game.
Yeah. I think we all understand that. And you have to have that mindset of one at a time, because that's the way it works. You know, you can't go out there and win three at once. You know, it's the way it is. It's a simple observation, but, you know, we're forced to approach it that way because that's the way it works.
One at a time, with the next one being tomorrow night. Can our number one seeded Bucks get past the first round of the NBA playoffs? Man, did you watch the game, Jane?
I didn't watch it, but I was seeing updates come through on Twitter.
Man, I watched the whole thing with Mike, and
because we were up
10-15 the whole game. And it was just one of those things where even though we had a comfortable lead, they just looked sloppy. They felt like the turnovers and the passes were sloppy. And then when in the fourth quarter, Jimmy Butler was just on fire the entire game, but they went on a run. And for some reason, Bud just hates timeouts. I mean, one of the number one, at least according to my dad and the way that I grew up playing basketball, is when a team starts to get hot, you call timeout. So you break up the momentum that they're building.
Exactly.
And Bud just notoriously doesn't do that. And all of a sudden it went from a 15-point lead to being 1 point behind. And we just couldn't get it together. And it was just like a slow motion implosion of feeling like, what, how did this happen? And I feel like Jimmy Butler just refused to lose. He had 56 points.
Wow.
And he broke LeBron James' franchise playoff record. And he was 19 for 28 from the floor and 15 for 18 from the free throw line. And he was unstoppable. And no one else had that same intensity on the Bucks. And, you know, I guess, I mean, never say never, but it also just feels, because there's still three to get to win a championship. There's three more rounds after this. So if you dig all seven games here, it's a lot of energy.
Yes.
To then turn around and do it three more times. Yeah. And so it was just, like, talk about disappointing.
And I'm concerned, as you are, the game is at 8:30 tomorrow night on a Wednesday. This is not ideal. And I just feel like we really need to fill Fiserv Forum to show the team that they've got the support. And you feed off the crowd, right? You feed off that energy. And if they're already struggling to come into a half-hearted Fiserv Forum is not going to help. It's not going to help.
So I guess that's a question. Do you have plans to go to the game tomorrow? 844-967-2789. And if you are going, how hard are you ready to cheer? Because I would say we watched, you know, the difference of the energy levels of the audience or the crowd from game one to game two? Game three. No. It was the first game where we lost and it was like, how do we lose this? And then when they came back and they just like smashed them and had that unbelievable game. And so like, you know, watching Miami last night, their crowd was fired up. And so having some energy level from the crowd is going to be necessary. But I feel like after that loss, everyone's feeling a little like
stung.
Woof,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. 844-967-2789. Steven checking in with the Bucks. Steven, go ahead.
I'm like a bad itch that doesn't go away. I eat, sleep, and breathe sports, especially when it's Wisconsin sports, because I believe Wisconsin has the best fan base in all sports and every single sport we have. And I hope I'm wrong on this opinion that I'm about to lay out here, but the Bucks ain't making it past the first round this year. It ain't happening.
Mm.
And I say that because we're not playing like a playoff team. We played better in the regular season than we're playing right now in the playoffs. And you're playing the best teams in the NBA right now. I don't see them getting past the Heat. Jimmy Butler last night was laying dimes all over the court. And for the Heat, you have one more game to win. And, I mean, you're in it. So I don't see the Heat lighting up, and what they're already doing is amazing. And the Bucks are going to have to rank it up to 100, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Thanks for the call, Steven. I don't know if they're going to be able to. I mean, I don't know. I want to stay positive. I want to be one of the people who is positive and is like, we can do this. I watched the miracle that was 2021 when we rallied for that and we came back after being down 2-0 in two different series. So I am going to stay positive. But last night was not fun.
And even just hearing the players afterwards, they just sounded so defeated. And I know they all make a lot of money to play a game, and you know that I am never averse to criticizing that, but I feel horribly for these athletes when they have to come on and go, yep, we sucked, because they did. And it's like the last one said, it's not a complicated answer. We have to win.
I mean, that's the thing that's always the like, having the job of a sports journalist and asking questions of coaches and athletes and trying to think that you're going to get any kind of like profound, interesting answer is like, it feels like such a like merry-go-round of the same cliches, the same, it's like, it's just obvious. It's like, there's only one winner. It wasn't us. We need to do better next time. And there's some random variation of that. And that is every time what you get. And yet we all watch it and we all wait for the clip and wait for what their answer was. And then are surprised when it's like, oh yeah, thanks, Captain Obvious. Like that was exactly what you should say. Cause what else are you going to say? All right, we got to go to a break. When we come back, Peter Cameron from the Badger Project is going to be here to talk about the biggest lobbyists in Wisconsin. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matt-Nair, and we are talking to Peter Cameron, who is the managing editor of The Badger Project, which is a nonpartisan, nonprofit investigative journalism outlet in Wisconsin. And they're constantly putting out great reports. And the one that caught my eye last week, end of last week?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, was the biggest lobbyists in Wisconsin, who is spending the most money to try to influence our politicians. And I think in the headline was included the Brewers, which over the last decade have increased. And so I thought instead of just recapping what you wrote in the article, we'd get you on here to talk about what you found out as you were looking at these different companies, these different lobbyists, and what influence they have when it comes to dollars in Madison. So welcome back to the show, Peter.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I guess let's just start at the beginning. I think lobbyist is a term that we hear all the time, but as far as like, how should we think about lobbying and lobbyists as like a definition?
Yeah. I mean, it's any attempt to influence legislation or administrative action. So, I mean, that can mean a lot of things. One important thing to note is that I think some people might confuse lobbying with campaign contributions. Mm-hmm. So when you write a check to your state senator or the president or whatever, that's a campaign contribution. Lobbying is done by, well, it can be done by anybody. It can be done by a for-profit corporation. It can be done by a nonprofit. Anyone could lobby. You have to register with the state if you're going to be a lobbyist, though. And then you have to report the time spent, the hours spent lobbying, which can be preparing for a meeting with a legislator or the governor or anyone in state government, or the actual time and being spent with that person. So, I mean, I the actual lobbying is probably not that interesting. It's sitting in front of a legislator, giving him or her a PowerPoint presentation, you know, that kind of thing, giving them documents. And so, you know, trying to convince them to get your issue, to pass your bill or to kill the bill that you don't like, or to give a tax cut or whatever it is, you know, all that stuff. One thing to note is that lobbyists cannot give anything of financial value to anyone they're trying to lobby. So state legislators, politicians, whatever, they can't take them out for dinner. You know, you think of like if you're a drug salesman, you take doctors out. You know, that's a whole nother issue. But you take them out for dinner, you buy them lots of things, you give them fly them to Tahiti or whatever, and you know, you start thinking of the U.S. Supreme Court, and they have. Apparently, they don't have very stringent rules on what U.S. Supreme Court justices can accept. But in Wisconsin, lobbyists can't buy you anything. They can't take you out for dinner. The only thing they can do is they can anything that's available to the public, a lobbyist can give to a legislator or somebody they're trying to lobby. So if you put a box of donuts out and, you know, a legislator takes one of those, that's okay, but you can't take them out for dinner. So there are lots of restrictions and rules on what lobbyists can do in Wisconsin. It's tightly regulated. Lobbyists and lobbying organizations that lobby can make campaign contributions to candidates, but only during the campaign season. So they can't do it. They couldn't do it right now. They could do it, you know, it's generally in even years. So, you know, in the spring and in the summer up until the election. So they have they have tight rules there as well.
Peter, I just want to clarify if I decide to become a lobbyist after I finally wrap up my radio career. So I can bring I can bring politicians donuts, but I can't hide money in the donuts.
Well, I mean, yeah, that would be illegal.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm asking. Definitely. But I mean, but a lobbyist couldn't. You couldn't even bring donuts into a legislative office because that would be specifically for the legislators. You could have donuts out at a, I don't know, some sort of public forum or something in a legislative.
Like the rotunda of the Capitol.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be okay.
Good to know.
It has to be accessible to everybody.
Okay. So then when we talk about the money being spent on lobbying, is that in just salary for the lobbyists?
Yeah, generally. I mean, paying the lobbyists to, I mean, some of these are national organizations. So they have to fly into Madison. And they, I mean, there's prep time. It's pretty, you know, it's supposed to be boring and it's pretty boring. It's just paying lobbyists, prepping for stuff and travel and whatever. I mean, I don't know. They probably get per diems or something. That's up to the company. But yeah, that's generally what the spending and the hours is.
So it's not when we're going to start talking about the numbers being spent by these different organizations, but it's not that this money is getting, because I think that might be a misconception. It's like, oh, money spent on lobbying is like bribes. I think sometimes is like the assumption, so that's really just when we talk about money being spent, it's in salary and expenses to get in front of elected officials.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, like what Clarence Thomas is getting flown around, the Supreme Court justice getting flown to, I don't know, you know, Caribbean islands or whatever, but you can't do that lobbyists can't do that legally. In Wisconsin, you can't give any financial gift to anything of financial value. I mean, you can give, you know, like handouts and pamphlets and things like that, but nothing of value. So there's, yeah.
And Peter, it's up to the individual lawmaker on which lobbyists they're going to meet with, right? I mean, it's not incumbent on them to meet with every lobbyist that wants to come before them. They can say no.
Definitely. I mean, and the vice versa is true too. So I spoke to Tim Cullen, who is he's a Democrat, former Senate Majority Leader. He was in power when the Democrats were in power. And everybody wants to talk to you when you're in power, mm-hmm. But he was also a minority. He was in the minority party, and then lobbyists don't care. You know, why would they bother? And so I don't know. There are probably lots of Democrats in the legislature that don't even know who a lobbyist is, because why would they bother? Why would you bother lobbying the party in the minority?
Absolutely. So I guess let's moving on to who's spending money trying to influence our legislature. The biggest one, I think, which was maybe people are surprised to hear, but maybe not, is how much over the last decade the Milwaukee Brewers have spent, I'm guessing, and this is all kind of coming to a head now as we are hearing about the different proposals, either in the budget or a separate bill, the $290 million that Evers proposed versus the new bill that Voss said that one was dead and there's going to be something else. I imagine that the Brewers lobbyists are influential in the conversations that are happening around that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in the Capitol, so I'm not reporting on the day-to-day. I'm mostly looking at the numbers that are reported. But, I mean, certainly, so let's start with the Bucks, for example. And they got funding for the Fiserv Forum, their new arena, back in, like, 2015. I think they broke ground on it 2015, 2016. They lobbied a ton in that right before that legislative during that legislative session. So they reported spending about $700,000, and they ended up getting $250 million from the state and from the county. So they were also lobbying Milwaukee County, I'm sure. But that's a pretty good return on your investment, right? I mean, $700,000 in lobbying, and they're getting tens, hundreds of millions of dollars. Brewers now doing, you know, the same thing. This year, the state legislature and the governor are working on the budget now. And as you guys know, but your listeners might not know, there's a huge surplus. I think it's like $7 billion. And so, you know, that's just, I'm sure that's ramping up everything. Everybody's mm-hmm. trying to get some money this year, and how it shakes out, you know, who knows. But the Brewers Stadium, it's now called what? American Family Field. It's owned publicly. It's not owned by the Brewers, so that's something I think a lot of people don't know. And so they say it needs $400 million in renovations to keep up with other ballparks. And yeah, like you said, Kristen, there's a proposal. The governor wants to give them a lot of money to do that. Robin Voss, the top Republican in the state, is sort of balking on that. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, in the numbers, you can see the Brewers ramping up their lobbying spending in the last few years. I suspect, just an educated guess, that this session will be even greater than the last few have been. They've spent, what, about $700,000 in the last two, three, four sessions, and I'm sure they'll be in there like crazy right now because it's really ramping up.
Absolutely. So then I guess who were some of the other biggest lobbyists for the numbers that you were looking at? Oh, I should also say, we're talking to Peter Cameron, who is the managing editor of the Badger Project, which is a nonpartisan, nonprofit investigative journalism outlet here in Wisconsin. And we're talking about lobbying in Wisconsin. And so who were some of the other big players as you were looking at the numbers?
Yeah, just to give you context. So the Bucks spent $700,000 lobbying back in 2015-16. They haven't reported any lobbying since then. So that's an organization there are other things, I don't know, but they're not lobbying at all. The Brewers didn't lobby at all 8 years ago. Now they've been doing it probably for this one specific thing. But every year, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, that's a group that some of your listeners will probably know. They're basically the Chamber of Commerce in Wisconsin. The numbers there, they're spending over $1 million in lobbying every legislative session, which is 2 years, so they're like $1.3 million. Other big groups like that, the Wisconsin Hospital Association, Wisconsin Realtors Association. These are big trade organizations that have lots of interests. You know, they have the Brewers and the Bucks. They have this one issue they want to get done.
They're staying.
Right. But these other, you know, you can imagine all the different things that the Chamber of Commerce would be interested in, or hospitals or realtors. So there's lots of stuff. What else? Yeah. And so they're constantly, you know, working on getting bills passed, working on shaping things to their liking, also working to kill bills. And something that anybody out there listening, this is all reportable. It's all online. And you can see not only do organizations have to report how much they're spending on lobbying, they report their positions on bills. So if they're for something, they're against something, they're kind of ambivalent on it. That's all reportable. The website is lobbying.wi.gov. So anybody can look, you can check it out. It's all there. If there's a bill that you're interested in, you can see all the different organizations, how they're reporting their support or opposition.
That's super interesting. I didn't know that was available. But because I think we talk about the Tavern League a lot and the power that they do or do not have, especially whenever the legalizing marijuana comes up, whether it's, I know in my comment section, when I make videos about marijuana, that people reference the Tavern League, but I feel like looking at the numbers, comparatively, they're not spending as much as like WMC is spending. So like by looking at the numbers, how influential do you find the Tavern League? But that's also coupled with a lot of other booze associated or adjacent organizations. And so when it comes to, you know, a very drinking heavy state, what is kind of the influence of booze adjacent organizations?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, you know, I don't think there have been any cannabis bills introduced yet this session, but when they are, you can, like I said, you can see all the organizations, whether they're supporting it or opposing it. I haven't done a lot of reporting on this. I know this, there are a lot of people on Reddit or whatever, blame the Tavern League for opposing, cannabis legalization. But I mean, the thing I would say is that I don't think there's any Republican state governments across the country that have legalized marijuana. So when it's been done at a state government level and not by a referendum, it's been done by Democratic administrations. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have that here. And I mean, one of the first things, Minnesota now is fully controlled by state Democrats at the state government level, and they are now legalizing cannabis. So I don't know. I mean, if the Democrats were in, you know, if the Democrats ever get full control of government here in Wisconsin again, I mean, that's going to be at the top of their list. I don't know what the Tavern League wants to do. I don't think they'd be able to kill it even if they wanted to, but I think it's more a partisan thing than the Tavern League able to kill things that they, that would be my educated guess on that.
Well, this is super interesting. We'll certainly link your reporting and link lobbying.wi.gov to our show notes today on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. But we'll certainly have you on again, Peter, for your guys' different reports that you have on all things Wisconsin. So thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, ladies. Go Bucks. Get it.
Go Bucks. Let's have a comeback. Yeah. All right. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
One, two, three, four. One, two.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man.
Yeah. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And, you know, it was funny. I think yesterday we were talking about what I majored in college, and I got the public policy minor. And so that was probably when the first time I actually learned about excise taxes. And as one of the many tools that policy can use to influence consumer behavior. And, you know, so excise taxes are these special taxes on specific goods or activities. And so it's like gasoline, tobacco, gambling.
The sin taxes.
I think this was like way back when Bloomberg was still mayor, where he was taxing the like jumbo sodas that
the
you
big
can
gulps.
Buy.
Yeah, yeah.
Big gulps. And so, but I always wondered, you know, how much does an excise tax have to be in order to change behavior? And apparently, at least in Oakland, California, not much. Because after Oakland, California slapped a 1 cent per ounce tax on sugary drinks in 2017, local sales of sweetened beverages, including soda, fruit and sports drinks, and sweetened teas, dropped nearly 27%.
That doesn't seem possible.
I don't know what to tell you. This is a report from U.S. News. So usnews.com. Oakland soda tax cut local Oakland's soda tax cut local sales by 27%.
Wow.
Which is just for ounce. So if you get a 12 ounce soda, it's 12 cents per can or per
bottle
fountain drink, right, or whatever. And I just, maybe this is a super privileged position to have, but I just don't think I would notice.
I'm right there with you. My husband knows the gas price of every gas station, probably within a 5 mile radius of our house.
Okay.
There are people like that who are very, very penny conscious. Mm-hmm. And while I like to think I'm really responsible with money, I am not that penny conscious.
You're not penny conscious.
No, I don't think I would notice that.
And I don't know. Like, I don't know what people's soda consumption is that you start to be like, well, this is really adding up, so I better cut back. Like, I think I get a Diet Coke from a gas station maybe once a week as a craving of being like, well, this seems like a good afternoon instead of another cup of coffee. But I just found that is such a disproportionate reaction, it feels like. And I don't know. Like, I don't know if this also is, there's inflation baked into here. So if the cost of sugary drinks went up in general, and so you add the excise tax on that, and then there's maybe correlation versus causation. But I thought that was an outsized result.
For a penny an ounce,
for a penny an ounce.
That's quite a return. I mean, taxes on cigarettes are astronomical.
What is it in Wisconsin?
It's high. It's very high. Yeah. I got to look it up.
Because I know in New York, I think I've told this joke. That's not really, it's not a joke. It's funny because it's true. But in New York, my French friends who, you know, France is still a country where most people still smoke and they don't really think twice about it. But so many of them as expats who moved to France, to New York, and they see the cost of cigarettes and they very quickly become non-smokers.
I bet. Yeah, I bet.
Because I think it's at least at some point when I was living in New York, $17 a pack.
And
which
most,
I don't think is what is it it is in Wisconsin right now.
No, I want to say it's about $9.50 a pack. It depends upon what you smoke. And the tax is $2.52 as of January 1st of 2022, the 15th highest among the 50 states.
The 15th highest?
15th highest among the 50 states.
Is there any link that you're looking of what you're looking at that says the? I would imagine if I had to guess the top five, I would say New York, California, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey.
Well, I have got a breakdown that has cities.
Okay. Oh.
The highest combined,
so it's a city and not state.
Yeah, the highest combined state local tax rate, 716 in Chicago. Evanston is second at 648 a pack. Other high state local rates include New York City, 585. Juneau, Alaska is at $5 a pack.
That surprises me.
In Alaska?
Juneau, Alaska with a high excise tax on cigarettes. That's actually very surprising.
I mean,
this would be a fun thing to see, like out of gas, tobacco, booze, then the states that actually do have recreational marijuana, like the different sin taxes and like ranked by state according to sin, to see what, you know, what are people really trying to curb versus what do we not really care about?
Really care about. That's great.
Do we have, is there sin taxes on guns or is that just the normal sales tax and you're good to go?
I believe it's just a normal sales tax. And I also believe that in Georgia, they are talking about making a tax holiday for the purchase of weapons.
Oh my gosh.
Because we need, Kristen. That we need.
Guns get their own Black Friday. Because that is
where our priorities are.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news, but we have a very fun, no sour, haha, fun time power hour planned for you. When we come back, we're going to Milwaukee Turners. They are having a event next week to kick off Jewish American Heritage Month and Asian American Heritage Month, which does that's in May. But there's going to be a Vell Phillips Forum fighting anti-Semitism and anti-Asian hate through education. And it's co-sponsored by Jewish Community Relations Council of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, the Japanese American Citizens League of Wisconsin, Elevation, and Milwaukee Turners. And we're going to have some of the leaders of those organizations here to talk about the event. It's going to be at 11:30 on April 27th. So we'll link that if you are interested in going to that. But then at 1:30, if you are sober curious or sober or drinking less, the rise of availability of both drinks and locations that are alcohol free might be of interest to you. So we are talking to Inmoxicated, which is in Racine. It's a dry bar, not the hair place, but in a bar that does not serve alcohol. And their manager, Jeff Gustin, is going to be here. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Yeah,
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.